Let me take you back to 2021. Our beloved dog, Henry, had passed away. We had him for a number of years. And so a couple weeks went by, some months went by. And so we were ready as a family to get another dog. So I was fine with getting one dog, but I really didn't want a puppy. And so an opportunity came across. There were some friends of ours. They found a rescue dog. It was clearly abandoned. It had worms and fleas, and they couldn't find the owner. And so they wondered if we would want to take this dog in. And so we said, well, let's try her for a weekend. Of course, we became very emotionally attached. And we took in a rescue dog named Penny. We named her Penny. And it was great. We loved her. And about 2 months after we had her, Penny got an ear infection. And so Kelly took her to the vet. And the vet gave her some medicine for this ear infection. And then said, oh, by the way, Penny is pregnant. And we're like, wait, what? And the vet said, it's imminent. And Kelly said, what's imminent? She said, your dog is gonna have puppies in 24 to 48 hours. And we had no idea. We found out that dogs are pregnant for about 60 days. So she must have gotten pregnant right before we got her. So anyway, that night, she had one puppy, a singleton, it's called. And so we have a mom and a little puppy. And let me just say, it was fun and cute at first. But then after a few weeks went by, I said to my family, I said, I think we should find a good home for this little puppy. And nobody agreed with that. But I didn't back down. I said, I really think we could find a good home for this puppy. Because here's the thing, you guys like the idea of two dogs, but the reality of it is it's gonna be a lot of work for me and your mom to take care of. And so we had a little family discussion around this, and one of our kids said, Dad, we can't just give the puppy away. And I'm like, yeah, we can. It's more blessed to give than receive anyway, right? And then our daughter Alyssa said, Dad, how can you call yourself pro-life and separate a mom from his daughter? So we have two dogs. I had no comeback for that. But I do most of the work. I'm just letting you know. Now, I share all of that because we're in the middle of Matthew 25 project, ready to launch it today. And the thing about generosity and giving and serving in love and love is that we like the idea of all of that, but I don't know that we always think about the reality of what that requires, because the opportunity of generosity, the responsibility of serving and being generous, really, it looks like inconvenience and sacrifice. And so that's what we're gonna look at today. Today, we're in week 5. This is the day that we wanna bring an offering, our first offering to this. Wanna look at different ways for where our money's going to go as we give to this project. And we're gonna look at different, very specific, practical ways we can serve with the organizations that we're partnering with. But I wanna go to Galatians chapter 5 because Paul talks about this, how we use our freedom in Christ. What do we do with it? Now, if you read the whole book of Galatians, it really is about Paul telling these followers of Jesus, you're free from religion, the prison of religion. You're free from the law, right? Jesus, he fulfilled all of the requirements of the law, everything that the prophets talked about, he fulfilled that. So when you place your faith in Jesus, you no longer have to fulfill the requirements of the law. So he's talking about this freedom in Christ. But look what he says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, what to do with this freedom. It says this, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. Now, here's the question I want us to wrestle with today, and I'd encourage you to write this down. How does freedom in Christ become faith lived out? The freedom that we have because of what Jesus did through the work of the cross, how does that translate into being faith, our faith in him, living that out? Because in this passage, there's a paradox, and it's brilliant the way Paul lays it out, but I would also say it's kind of annoying. Because what he talks about is Christ has set you free, don't go back to those religious chains, but there's a paradox in this. You've broken out of the prison, or because of what Christ did, you're out of that prison. Now, voluntarily chain yourself to serving and loving. He's saying you're free from the law. Now here's a new law, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the paradox. So how does this freedom in Christ become faith lived out? Number one, use your freedom to serve others in love. That's what Paul says. Real freedom is not doing whatever we want whenever we want to do it. It's choosing and considering how our choices impact not only ourselves, but how it impacts other people. Serving others in love is the mission of Jesus that he calls us to live out. And so Paul is saying, look, Christ has truly set you free. Freedom is this gift to use. Don't use it for selfishness. Don't use it to satisfy your own sinful desires. Instead, use it to serve others in love. Now that sounds good. That's a very, very nice idea, especially in church. Yes, of course, use your freedom to serve others in love. But that's not where Paul stops. He connects that, verse 13 and 14, to verse 15. He warns against what happens if you don't do this. And I would say it's pretty serious. If you don't use your freedom in Christ to serve one another in love, here's what happens in verse 15. You will be biting and devouring one another. Watch out, beware of destroying one another. That tells me there is a drift. You will not drift into serving one another in love. There's a drift away from that. And in a church community like ours, the drift will be to biting and devouring one another. I think that's really serious. Think about one bite, right? One bite, if it was a dog, you know, our dogs don't do this, but if it's a dog that would bite you, snap at you, it's not a fatal bite. But what happens when another bite and another bite and another bite until it starts devouring and feasting on something? And then Paul begins to paint this picture when a pack of dogs would attack another pack of dogs. It's just like they're devouring each other until there's mutual annihilation. What does that look like in a church? In a church, biting, devouring, leading to destroying one another, it looks like criticism of each other, right? Just a little bite. Looks like slander or gossip in the form of a prayer request. Looks like maybe passive aggressive comments or giving someone the silent treatment, right? They just seem like little bites. But if you don't stop it, Paul is saying, then you begin to devour one another because it just continues and it continues until it can actually destroy the community. That's how serious this is. And so what's the antidote? What's the guard against this? Serving others, number two. Serving others guards against this drift. Serving others protects a church from destroying itself and its witness. Now, we can't destroy the church. The church is going to move forward, but we can destroy a community of faith and the witness of a church. Now, here's where it gets really personal. When we talk about giving and serving, Again, that idea sounds good, but the reality of that is it costs something. It's inconvenient. It's messy. It takes sacrifice. Maybe it even feels a little bit unfair. We could have the thought, you know, if I give and serve and I give and out of my time, who's gonna take care of me? So there is a tension in all of this. But maybe that's exactly the point of freedom in Christ. When we use our freedom to serve one another in love, there will be a tension around that. It's gonna impact our lives, and then we will feel a little bit of that sacrifice, and that's a good thing. And so as we're stepping into Matthew 25 Project, this is our church-wide effort to be outward-focused and kingdom-minded. And so we've been laying that out over the last few weeks, elevating the value of life. We see life as a gift, human life. We wanna do everything we can to elevate it, that value. We also wanna elevate God's word, foundation of our lives, the truth that will set people free. And so we wanna give and serve around those. And when we give toward this, when we serve, it's outward. It's not benefiting worship center, it's benefiting the kingdom of God. And so we set up a goal for $2 million over the next 2 years to give of our time as well. But I want you to think about when you hear those dollars, think about hours. I don't want you to think about dollars and hours. I want you to think about them as seeds being planted. Seeds can multiply beyond what we can see. And so $2 million over 2 years, that's about $83,000 per month. And I want you to see where these first dollars will go to. We've talked about these, but I just want to make sure you understand some of the organizations we're partnering with and what it's going to. Align Life Ministries. Their mission is to align with God to proclaim the gospel and champion the sacredness of life. Our giving will help them purchase a new ultrasound machine and renovate a new location for a pregnancy center. They do incredible work walking alongside women who are in crisis pregnancies, walking with dads who have been impacted. They have post-abortion support and counseling for that. They do incredible work, and so we're happy to be partnering with them, Elevating Life. Keystone Family Alliance. They support foster families, foster children. Their mission is to educate, motivate, and equip every Christian in the state of Pennsylvania on the needs of orphans and vulnerable children, both locally and globally. So our giving will provide a new county coordinator staff position by covering the first year's salary. We're also partnering with Illuminations, a Bible translation organization. This is how we're elevating God's word. Now, this is a great organization. Their mission is to make God's word accessible to all. And so our giving is going to translate a Bible in a language that currently has no translation. So just imagine a Bible showing up to a people group who do not have a Bible in their heart language, and they're able to access God's word that way. What an opportunity we have. Now, there's a cost to it. It takes about 3 to 5 years to do that until they get a language that they have to figure out how to create a written word for and then translate the Bible. It costs about $960,000. And so we're making a commitment to do one book at a time. So every month we wanna give something towards that, a portion of what's given. So eventually we're able to support a Bible. A couple projects that we're doing this fall, we've done in the past couple years, CV Seeds Christmas Project. CV Seeds is a great organization supporting our local Conestoga Valley School District. Doing a Christmas project, and our giving is gonna support over 100 students in Conestoga Valley School District who are experiencing homelessness. And what we're gonna be doing is providing Christmas gifts for them. We did this last year, and we're gonna do it again. We also wanna do Pack Hope. Done that the last number of years. We work with an organization called Unto, and our giving, raising about $50,000 and need about 500 volunteers packing around 150,000 meals to feed people in some of the most some of the neediest places in the world. That event takes place early December. You'll hear more information about that. And then we're also partnering with an organization called Bridge of Hope. Their mission is to serve families who are homeless or at risk of homelessness in the Lancaster area and beyond. And depending on the level of giving that comes in, I think it's gonna be early 2026, we'll be able to support housing projects that will expand housing for homeless families that equips them to develop a stable household. And so when we give to Matthew 25 Project, again, all these dollars will go out. It will allow us, this is a starting point, and it will allow us to meet a lot of these needs with the hope that as we elevate life, as we elevate God's word, it's gonna open the door for the gospel of Jesus Christ to change lives. So that's our on the giving side. Now I asked Heather Bivens to come and share some practical ways we're gonna serve. So would you welcome her as she comes? Heather Bivens serves on our leadership team here. She also serves on the Matthew 25 Project team, getting this implemented. And so share with us your heart on some practical ways to serve.
Yeah, awesome, thanks. Hey, everybody. So earlier this spring, when we were first talking about the, what was God calling this church to, about Matthew 25 Project, what would that look like? We were reading through Matthew 25, Matthew 6, lots of different scriptures. And I remember being reminded of this fact. We all have the ability to be extremely generous. Maybe that's with our time, our talent, our treasure. I think most likely, most often, it's with a combination of all three. And maybe not everyone can commit to walking alongside a foster family right now, but some of us can. What's important is that everyone can do something. We are asking that each of you prayerfully consider the time the Lord wants you to commit to Matthew 25 Project. Now, as I was preparing for today, I was debating saying prayerfully consider, because sometimes I can hear that and it can be a cue to check out for a minute. Be like, oh yeah, I'll prayerfully think about that later, or I'll consider that later. So in the off chance that maybe you're like me and you checked out for a minute, I'm gonna ask you to check right back in. Each person is encouraged to choose one opportunity, at least one, whether it's a one-time opportunity to serve, an occasional opportunity, or an ongoing opportunity. Each person choose one thing to do at least by the end of the year. So we've chosen Align Life Ministries, Keystone Family Alliance, Bridge of Hope, and Illuminations as our first significant financial partnerships. The heart of the Matthew 25 Project, and I would say the mandate that God has given to this local church, is to be extremely generous with both our time and our money. We'll be serving alongside Align, Keystone, and Bridge of Hope, as well as many other remarkable organizations that are carrying out the work of God, upholding the sanctity of life, and elevating the word of God in our community. As part of Matthew 25 Project, team's initial research, we met with, I think it was really close to 20 different local organizations. They're all doing just that, elevating the word of God and the sanctity of life. And again, we heard about how well these ministries partner together. It's something that's uniquely strong in Lancaster County. Many of the organizations talked about that. So friends, God is doing something extraordinary in our community, and there are countless ways for us to join in. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna talk through some of the practical ways that we can be involved. And it's kind of funny. I was talking to somebody in between the services and they said, you know, it's not like I couldn't figure out how to serve. It's not like we don't know how to use the internet, right? But he said, sometimes that just feels like too much work. And I was just sitting there nodding my head because I was like, yeah, it does. Right? So I'm going to tell you about some of the opportunities. This list is not exhaustive, but it's a beginning list of ways that we can get involved. We have a page on our website, the Matthew 25 Project page, and it lays out all the different organizations. You can click on them. You can read their mission. You can see how they're doing kingdom-minded work with super practical ways. And I'm going to talk about a few of them. It feels like these organizations have longer names that I'm sure is going to twist my tongue a few times. It's a lot of, what are those things called? Acronyms. But I'm going to do my best. It doesn't really matter if you remember what I say. This is what matters, right? Do you check those things out? And God, I believe, will connect your heart to what the ministries are doing, and you will find a place to serve. So there's three different levels of commitment. The first time one is like a one-time commitment. That means you do it one time. So one way you could do this is you get a group of people and you go together and you could serve a meal at Water Street Mission. Another idea is you could donate baby supplies to a mom and a baby who need them through Align Life Ministries. You can make a welcome basket or a meal for a family at Good Samaritan Services. Keystone Family Alliance, I was on the website this week looking to see what the opportunities are. And if you click on it, it gives really practical needs. One was there's a young adult gal, and she's fostering her 10-year-old brother, and they need a fridge. It's like, oh, I bet we could take care of that. One was a family, and they were fostering a couple kiddos, and they needed a table that would seat 7. There's only seat 5. Somebody actually after first service was like, I have that table. So check that one off. It's pretty cool. There's tons of different ways to be practically, just meet a practical need with them. If you like to bake, you can bake cookies for the Freedom Walk. That's with Love Inspire Hope. You can donate Thanksgiving meal supplies to CVCCS. CVCCS. That's Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services. You can bring a meal to people who are taking ESL classes with CV Seeds or pack meals and beans with us at the beginning of December for Pack Hope. Then there's occasional commitments. These are maybe once a month, a couple times a quarter. Some of those commitments could be gathering a group and walking alongside a single parent through Bridge of Hope, or serving at the baby boutique at Align Life, or again, gathering a group to be a care community for a foster family with Keystone Family Alliance. Another one of the needs that was very, like a high priority need, is Spanish-speaking interpreters and advocates for Align Life. There's actually a gal I met her today. They've been here 3 months, and she came up to me after first service, and she's like, I can do that. Let's sign up. I was like, great, let's do it. So if you speak Spanish and are interested in interpreting, that's a high need. And then there's ongoing commitments. So these would be weekly or a greater investment of time. One of these would be to teach ESL classes with CV Seeds or to serve as a weekly volunteer at CVCCS. You could be trained as a foster family advocate with Keystone Family Alliance or be a mentor with Align Life. Another one of the needs that Align highlighted as a high priority need is they need people to volunteer weekly to clean their facilities so that they're ready for the moms or dads or babies to come in. So as you can see, there are many, many ways to make a difference and to be part of what God is doing through the Matthew 25 Project. No matter what commitment you decide to make, saying yes matters. It makes a difference. So I want you to consider, I don't know, are there 1,000 people in this room, maybe? Add the people who are watching online, people who are out in comments. If everybody chose one thing, I mean, there would not be a page that had a list of needs for tables and refrigerators, right? The collective impact of our generosity can make a huge difference. So I encourage you, don't just listen, respond. Ask the Lord where he is calling you to serve, then take a step today to get involved with that. So I'm wrapping up now, but I want to remind us of this. God is doing something special in Lancaster County. I believe that with my whole heart. And I believe this, every one of us have a way to be part of it. Thanks.
Thanks, Heather. So you see the website worshipcenter.org/Matthew25Project. That has all of the information there. I'd encourage you to go there, not right this moment because I want you to hear what I have to say, but I want you to go there. That's where you can give. That's where you can serve. That's where you can get all of the opportunities to serve. And so here's my ask for us today, for all of us. What would giving monthly to this look like for you? Above and beyond regular tithes and offerings. Because again, we're taking the next step. And what would it look like to serve, give some time to something above and beyond your volunteer serving roles here in this church? Because again, we want to go next level. And I would encourage you not to just think individually. You could think, what could you do as a family? But also think about maybe you're in a small group Or maybe you have a dinner club that you meet once a month and you go out to dinner together with a group of friends. Maybe you're in a fantasy football league with a group or a shopping group. I don't know, is there shopping groups? Probably. Would you consider turning one of those gatherings or adding a gathering of with that group and say, hey, this on a Saturday, we're gonna serve for 2 hours together. Or we're gonna choose an evening and go out and do one of these one-time commitments. A shared mission experience will deepen your relationship. Now, I get this, some of, you know, we're kind of wired to resist some kind of change like this. It's like, oh, it's just not a good time. I love the idea, it's not a good time. Now wait till things slow down, or maybe wait to give till I have a little bit more margin in my budget. Here's what I would go back to Paul's words. Our freedom in Christ, what we've been given, is to serve one another in love. So would there be a starting place for you? This is not just a good idea that church, you know, worship center came up with. We are trying to follow the directive that Jesus gave us. I want you to kind of close our time today with Matthew chapter 9. Starting in verse 35. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. That is the mission of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And I just wonder if they had a time of prayer at some point, praying for the future disciples and the future church and the future followers of Jesus that would be Worship Center and many other churches in 2025. Saying, praying for more workers to go into the fields. It's our mandate. Now, what is a field? Do you know what a field looks like? A field looks like dirt and work. And when Jesus is saying, go into the fields, what do you do in the fields? Well, in a field, you gotta prepare the soil for the planting of seeds. And preparing the soil and planting of seeds looks like dirty work. A sacrifice, cost, investing time and resources. And so instead of us saying, man, I hope somebody goes into the fields and does the work, the harvest is great, but I hope somebody goes into it. I believe the Spirit of God is calling us as a church to say, God, we're ready, send us to go into the fields. What is preparing soil? It's going in, it's having to be moved with compassion for people, to see people the way Jesus did. Teaching, announcing the good news of the kingdom, healing, bringing the hope that only comes from Jesus. And it looks like giving financially and partnering with these organizations that are doing great work with the prayer and the hope that many people would come to know who Jesus is. What's our part in that? Whatever amount you decide, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I do want to invite you to do something. And whatever amount you decide to give financially and how much time you decide to give financially, I want you to do what your faith is prompting you to do. Not out of pressure, not reluctantly, but just with joy saying, okay, what is your faith in Jesus? What is that compelling you to do in this? And think about, as a church, together we can do so much more than we could ever do alone. And so we're gonna put the giving link up. If you've never given, this will take you to our regular online giving platform. Just make sure it's Matthew 25 Project. If you wanna give something, cash or check, just make sure it's designated to Matthew 25 Project. Every dollar given to that is gonna go out and make a difference. So I want us to think about what we're giving, both in dollars and in hours. And I want to pray over them. I want to pray as we launch this today. And the way I'd like to commission us is by reading Psalm 112. I was reading this week and just was so prompted to read this as a prayer of commissioning over us as a church into this. So as you think about the time and the money that you're ready to release, let's let Psalm 112 speak to our hearts. It says, "Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor." That's Psalm 112. Let's pray. Lord, we hold our resources with an open hand, recognizing that you are the owner, we're the manager. And so God, as we take a step as a church to invest funds and hours, we see them as seeds being planted in the field where you've called us here in Lancaster and beyond. And we believe that these seeds are going to multiply and your kingdom is going to expand with more people coming to know you. So we join in with the work that you're doing. Expand our hearts for people. God, may we be moved with compassion to see people the way Jesus saw people. May we be moved to help people who are helpless, who may be lost. And God, as a church, we want to be in line with your will, your word, and be faithful until Jesus returns again. So thanks for allowing us to be a part of it. In Jesus' name I pray, we all said, amen. Amen. Go ahead. I'll give you permission to. I know you want to. I did want to mention to you, we're starting this out. If you go online, you'll see that $51,000 has already been given to our Matthew 25 project. So about $30,000, that was from giving that's been given through over the last couple years toward kingdom expansion. So that's our starting point. And then $20,000 has come in over the past couple weeks. So that's where we're starting. That's the seeds we're starting with. I don't want to dismiss though today without giving you an opportunity. If you're here and you've never received the gift of salvation, I want to give that opportunity. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, come follow me. Turn from your selfish ways, repent of your sin, and follow Jesus. That same invitation stands today. That's what this is all about. We want more people to know who Jesus is. And so if you're here today and you have not received that gift, I want to lead you in a prayer. It's a starting point. Just simply as this place of saying, I acknowledge what Jesus did when he went to the cross, died for my sins that I couldn't do on my own. It's a starting point then to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and my Savior. By grace, through faith, you're saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer just to acknowledge that. So would you bow your heads one more time? And I'm going to invite you to repeat this prayer. I'm going to invite everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. But would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, died on a cross, shed his blood for me. He was buried in a tomb and rose from the dead. So I repent of my sins, receive forgiveness, and I surrender my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As a church, we want to walk with you. If you're in this, taking this step to receive the gift of salvation, the ushers have a Bible for you that we want you to have. And we also have some steps for you to take. So would you just acknowledge it? Just put your hand in the air, unashamed of this prayer that you prayed. And the ushers will give you that Bible. And then after the service, I want to encourage you to stop by a room called Connections. It's to my right. We have a team of people there that would love to walk with you. Pray with you would like. I saw at least one hand go up. Can we thank God for that individual as well as someone else, any others that I might have missed? We had some people respond the first service as well. But I encourage you to stop by Connections Room. And then your next step is to be water baptized. It's where you learn how to tell your share your testimony, understanding who Jesus is, how he is your Lord, how we bring our lives under his authority and the authority of his words. I'd encourage you to take that step, what it is to be baptized. You can sign up online, worshipcenter.org/baptism. We'd love to help you in that way. All right, well, if you need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray for you. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections as well. If you're a young adult, stop by our space to my left here. Love to help you get connected. Next week, want to let you know, we're starting a brand new teaching series on the book of Revelation. So we're like, okay. So feel a little pressure now. So the first three chapters, there are messages to the church from Jesus. There's a lot of red letters in there. So we're going to look at what is the message from Jesus to the church. And so I'm excited to dig into that. All right. Would you all stand, please? Let me just remind you before you go. You are God's masterpiece. You have been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.